Be the star this Mother's Day and get the mom in your life a pair of diamond alternative earrings for $120 off the regular price. This offer is only good for this week and while supplies last. Last Mother's Day, they sold out. So go early to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word Howie Diamond.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's 420, man.
8 EIGH%. 8%. EIGH.
I.
It's 420, man.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know, I love The Godfather. The movie's The Godfather. And there's one. Have you watched The Godfather?
I did not care for The Godfather. I have no idea what they're talking about. It's like they're speaking a different language. That's where I lose interest and I go away.
They're speaking Italian!
Unchained and unstoppable.
And now, here he is, Mr. Womp himself, Don Rickles.
This country needs immigrants to survive. Immigrants pick the food we eat, clean our homes, and look after the most precious in our families.
Better than hanging around Mexico by the border going,
it's 420, man.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That's the number if you want to call us. And, you know, a lot of us who have been to college, who have graduated or not graduated, we see what our old schools are doing, and we're kind of embarrassed. I know I certainly am. I went to the University of North Carolina, and I know I speak for a lot of people when you say you can't believe what's going on these campuses, but very few of us do anything. We just maybe stop giving money, or we don't pay attention to the alumni magazines or emails that arrive, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's one guy who's doing something about his old school, and he's the former governor of Vermont, Jim Douglas. And he went to Middlebury College, a very famous, formerly respected, liberal arts college in Vermont. And he has filed a lawsuit against his alma mater, accusing it of cancel culture. And we've got him on the line now to explain what he's doing. And Governor Douglas, I congratulate you for doing this, for taking a stand. But are you really surprised that Middlebury College did this?
Well, perhaps not, Howie, but it is time to take a stand. This cancel culture is getting out of control, as you know, not just around here, but across the country. And we have to stand up and say no. So. They
what
took
happened?
The name off. They took the name of the donor off our college chapel. It was a predecessor of mine. That's why I feel so strongly about it. Governor John Mead, who served over a century ago, was very successful, made some money in manufacturing, and gave the chapel to his alma mater. And he specified the name that would go on the chapel when he did it. He said this would be called Mead Memorial Chapel in honor of my ancestors. And the college accepted it on that behalf, on that basis. They have used the name for more than a century, and then somebody came across something that Governor Mead said in a 1912 speech that, frankly, doesn't read very well today, and they summarily took his name off the chapel. Well, you know, a deal's a deal. He gave the chapel and specified the name. They accepted it on that basis, and then they reneged. So, we've just got to say no.
So it's not named after this. Governor Mead made some remarks about eugenics and how and eugenics was widely accepted at the time. Margaret Sanger, I believe Hillary Clinton accepted the Margaret Sanger Award at one point or another, right? And Margaret Sanger made many racist statements in her career, and she was one of the founders of Planned Parenthood. But it's never come back to haunt any Democrats that were associated with Margaret Sanger. But the chapel is not named after this former governor, Governor Mead. It's named after his ancestors. Correct?
Exactly right. And that's an interesting irony in this whole deal. That when the college put out a statement, this was a year and a half ago when they did the deed, they said it was named in honor of Governor Meade and his wife. Well, that's completely wrong. I ask students, why would a guy who's still alive ask it to be named Meade Memorial Chapel? Well, because it wasn't named for him. So they got that wrong, Howie. So, they obviously didn't do their homework. They didn't do the research. And they didn't even know the name for whom the people for whom the chapel was named when they took it off. So that's another aspect of this whole thing that's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, you after you served as governor of Vermont, didn't you go to Middlebury College, back to your alma mater, and you worked there for a while, right? So you know all these, you know some of these people that did this, don't you?
Yeah, I still do teach part time there, which is another interesting irony. But nonetheless, I feel strongly about this, as do many of the governor's descendants who first reached out to me after this happened, and they're obviously very upset about what's happened to their ancestor. Because, you know, yes, he said a few things about what we now call eugenics that weren't that don't sound good today, but
right.
This was a guy who was so much more than that. He was actually quite progressive for his time. He was for women's suffrage and for tougher child labor laws, more campaign finance disclosure, for clean energy, believe it or not, way back then. I mean, he did a lot of good, and to just take out one item, a few paragraphs in a speech that he gave in 1912 and make that the basis of an action like this is just unfair. And, you know, there was a book out that I recommend to your listeners by a fellow named Anthony Kronman, K-R-O-N-M-A-N, who was a dean at Yale. They've had their problems there, as you know.
Yale.
They got rid of
They got rid of the college that's named after John Calhoun, because who the hell knows who John Calhoun is or who to the college. But when it's branded with that big Y, Yale, he was a slave trader, and they won't get rid of his name, will they, Governor Douglas?
It's crazy. But anyway, Professor Kronman wrote a book and about this, and it's called The Attack on... The Assault on American Excellence, and his point is we have to consider what someone's dominant legacy is, not pick out the worst thing that he or she ever did or said, and that's the point of this dispute with Middlebury. I mean, there are a lot of great students there, some very talented faculty. It's been an honor to get to know them, but this is just wrong to disparage a loyal and generous alumnus who gave this chapel. And, you know, the chapel on our campus is the most prominent building there. It's on the highest point. It's the tallest building. It's in all their branding and marketing. I mean, the college has had a tremendous benefit from that generosity through the years, and it's just wrong for so many reasons.
Have they renamed it after anybody?
No, they're going through a process. There's a committee, you know. And so now they call it either the chapel or Middlebury Chapel, something like that. But, you know, come on.
He was also a Civil War veteran, right? Grand Army of the Potomac. So he fought to free the slaves, I guess you could say, right?
Well, and that's another aspect of this that's really annoying. When they put out their statement a year and a half ago, they implied that he was motivated by racism, because there were some eugenics activities later on that had a racial tone to them, but not Governor Meade. These things happened decades after he was in office. But you're right, Howie. He and a bunch of his classmates left Middlebury in 1863 to join the Union Army because they felt so strongly about fighting against slavery. He served at Gettysburg. He had two cousins who were wounded, one of them fatally, serving our country. So, yes, he was a great patriot and strongly against slavery.
I think I read recently about a college in Virginia that was removing somebody's name, and the descendants, maybe it was the University of Richmond. I think the people that had endowed it, their descendants said, well, if you're going to take our ancestor's name off of the whatever the college was, maybe I think it was the law school, they said, you're going to have to repay us all the money. And it amounted with the interest to tens of millions of dollars. Has the Meade family thought about doing this? $74,000 in 1914 compounded interest. It's got to be millions of dollars now. Have they thought about doing that?
Well, that's not their goal. They're not mercenaries. I understand that that's the way some of these disputes have been resolved, but that really lets the college off the hook, just to pay them off and send them away and forget about it. The descendants want justice, and that means putting the name back on, which is what the college agreed to do when they accepted the gift in 1914. So I don't know where it'll go legally or financially, but the goal of the family is justice and restoring the name.
Is this in state court or federal court that you filed the suit?
State.
Okay. Yeah. Have any of the board of directors or the administrators of Middlebury reached out to you either privately or publicly and said cut it out?
No. Of course, the college says that it favors and welcomes dissenting points of view, so I guess they're
tolerating
it. But I'm guessing, Howie, that their lawyers told them to clam up because I haven't heard from anybody. But I'd be happy to chat with them. I certainly talk with faculty and staff and students all the time on campus. My goal isn't to cause trouble. It's to restore the good name of a generous and loyal graduate of our college who loved the place. He loved Middlebury, and Middlebury loved him. That's what's so sad about this.
Yeah, I think you're doing the right thing, Governor Douglas. And you know, there's so many great Americans have come out of Vermont or did come out of Vermont. You know, from Ethan Allen and Calvin Coolidge. I just read a biography of Calvin Coolidge, the great president and former governor of Massachusetts. I mean, those guys living up there, it was a tough life that they had, but they made the most of it, and they gave a lot back to the country. And it sounds like Governor Meade was another one of them.
He was, and there's always a connection in history. Calvin Coolidge's father was in the state senate during Governor Meade's time as our chief executive, so I'm sure they knew each other.
Wow. And as many people may not know this, but when Warren G. Harding died, Calvin Coolidge was visiting his father, and his father was, what, the constable or something? He swore him in as president. His father swore him in as president of the United States. It's an amazing story.
Well, and I've got to take the opportunity to follow up on that. I serve on the board of the Coolidge Presidential Foundation, and this is the centennial year. It was August 2nd, 1923, when President Harding died, and he was vacationing, as you said, at his dad's home in southern Vermont. And in the wee hours of the morning on August 3rd, his father, in his capacity as a notary public, administered the oath of office. So we're going to reenact that this summer. And I would urge all your listeners to go on our website, CoolidgeFoundation.org, and get all the details.
Who's going to get to play the Irish chauffeur that was the witness?
Well, I don't know if we've casted it yet, but actually, I think I'm going to be playing Colonel Coolidge, his father.
That's great. Governor Douglas, it's great talking to you, and I wish you the best, and keep us informed about what happens with the lawsuit. I hope you prevail.
Well, thanks so much.
This is ridiculous, what they're doing. And I think about this every time I walk past the statue of Henry Morrison Flagler in Palm Beach. Wait till they find out what that guy did. Oh, my goodness. They're going to have to rename half of Palm Beach, half of South Florida, really. 844-5- he did a lot of bad stuff. He really did. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this. Yeah.
And now, back to the cheap bastard from up north.
Maine, where he's from?
Around Portland, I think. And like most real Yankees, he knows how to nurse a dollar.
He's Howie Carr.
Bruce from the Mets says, he used to live down in Broward County. You're in my old neighborhood. Flagler was an outstanding, upstanding man. You know, all I could tell you, Bruce, I wouldn't cancel the guy. But I'm just telling you, if Governor Mead can't withstand scrutiny, Henry Flagler's got a big problem down the road. That's all I could tell you. 844. Not for me. I'm not going to rat him out, but someone's going to read a history book eventually, and he'll be in trouble. 844-500-4242. I love MyPillow's products. I sleep with their pillows. I wear their slippers. I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts by using the code Howie at MyPillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream Sheets, go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
On this 420, what do you think of the legalization of marijuana now? Good idea, bad idea, too soon to tell, or like, what was the question again, dude?
Bad idea.
62% say it's a bad idea, 15% say good idea, 13% forgot the question, 9% say it's still too soon to tell.
All right, 844-500-4242. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Listen, Harry Carr, long time no speak. Listen, I want to ask you a question. The electric car, right? My friend bought an electric car last couple months ago. His wife weighed about maybe 400 pounds, and her car, his husband's car, runs so slow, 35 miles an hour, and the police have to stop them in the highway because the car cannot move so fast. Because she's taking up so much ballast
on the car, it can't go fast. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Think about this. You know, electric cars can't go as fast when it's cold. So what is it going to be like in January when the 400-pound wife of your friend gets in the car? It won't be going 15 miles an hour, will it?
And then the double decker, the bus, New Jersey Transit double decker, cannot run in the snow days, the snow or the cold. The electric bus, the big one, the double decker, yeah. I call it, cannot run so fast.
Well, in Philadelphia, they bought a bunch of electric buses a few years ago, and they couldn't go up the hills.
Oh, God. The Democrat Party, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. But you know what, Mr. Garcia, you and I are picking up the tabs. It's funny when we're talking about it on the radio, but it's not so funny, when you're actually waiting for the bus to arrive, or you're behind the car that can't go over 35 miles an hour because there's a 400-pound woman in it, or because it's cold, or when it breaks down by the side of the road, and there's nowhere to charge it, and how are they going to charge these cars when they run out of battery juice? 844-500-4242. 508, one word, tow truck. That's two words, I guess, but I get it. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Don, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, Howie. I live down here in Volusia County, and we're right next to Flagler County. Henry Flagler is very famous here. and he's a very much abusive guy. If you look up the history of him,
that's what I said.
Came down here and wrecked the place.
I don't know if they wrecked the place, but they did a lot of things that would not be considered acceptable today. Can we agree on that, Don?
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot of stuff named after him over here in North Florida. It's not only in South Florida.
I live in the middle of Palm Beach. If I walk down the street, I'm about a quarter of a mile from the Flagler Museum, which is where his house was. I turn left and I go down Royal Ponciana Way, and there's Henry's Restaurant, owned by the Breakers. That's the name of it. Then I go into the Breakers. My wife, the mailroom manager tonight, is having dinner at a bridal shower in the HMF restaurant, Henry Morrison Flagler. There's a statue of him on the corner of my street. There's a portrait of him in the Breakers. It's everywhere. And you know what? If the city fathers of Miami had been allowed, they were planning to change the name of Miami, the city, to Flagler. And Henry Morrison Flagler was approached about it, and he said, you know, That's a nice offer you're making me, but Miami has kind of a nice ring to it. And so he turned it down. But, you know, Don studied the history books of Florida just like I have. And, you know, I'm telling you, he's cruising for a bruising. It's only a matter of time. You mark my words. And probably it's not going to be long either. I predict I'm still on the air when it happens. 844-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie. I moved down to Lakeland, Florida from Quincy last year. And the thing I can't understand is everybody's talking about electric cars and everything, but nobody seems to be bringing up the point of, who's going to pay for the money for these special fire trucks? Because you can't put them out with water when they go on fire.
Right. Yeah, no, you can't. And we talked about that on the west coast of Florida when the hurricane hit last year. They had this problem in Naples and Fort Myers.
No, I was over there after the hurricane cleaning up Sanibel Island and helping out with Fort Myers Beach, and cars were just going on fire and people's garages and burning the homes down. And it's like, you know, you can't just put water on electricity. But I have yet to hear any conversation other than with you, because I never miss a minute of your show. I listen to it twice a day.
Thank you.
Also,
thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're all I listen to. That's why I have my iHeart app, because I can't find anything down here worth listening to.
Nor can I. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but it's the reality of it. You know, did you see a story? There's a story in the New York Post yesterday or the day before. A parking garage collapsed in Manhattan. It killed the manager of the parking garage, and I think there's still people missing in it. And now they're talking about what caused the collapse. You know, it could be a— They have problems with building codes in big cities, especially in New York particularly, but apparently that's not what happened. This is a big story in the New York Post. Heavy electric vehicles could put pressure on parking garages, experts warn. Parking garages across the U.S. could be at risk of collapse over the weight of heavier electrical vehicles, experts warned, as one such garage fell in lower Manhattan, killing one person and injuring five. Chris Wapples, a structural engineer and consultant working on new regulations for multi-story garages in the UK, said officials need to understand how the rise in EVs will affect current car parks. Someone thought that Mr. Garcia was pulling my leg when he was talking about the 400-pound woman. I don't think he was. This is what he told the London paper, this structural engineer in the UK. I don't want to be too alarmist, but there definitely is the potential for some of the early car parks in poor condition to collapse. Operators need to be aware of electric vehicle weights and get their car parks, garages, assessed from a strength point of view and decide if they need to limit weight. That warning came less than 2 weeks before Tuesday's deadly collapse at the NYC parking garage, which reportedly had active violations dating back to 2003. There's over 50 cars on the roof, said the emergency management commissioner. The building is not structurally sound. You think about hazardous materials that are in the garage, right? Gas tanks, fluids, further complicated by the fact that there are possibly some electric vehicles in that garage. Electric cars are notably heavier than their gas counterparts due to their powerful batteries. I'm telling you, Brandon, today he was, talking about the 500,000 charging stations, but he got so confused that he called them. He just said, we're going to have 500,000 electric vehicles. This is the guy who's in charge, and he's claiming he's going to, recreate the world and recreate transportation. And he has no clue what he's talking about.
We've made a generational investment in our nation's infrastructure to build our clean power and construct 500,000 electric vehicles and all across the charging stations.
Doesn't have a clue. Not a clue. 844-500-4242.
That was definitely an earpiece moment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's got to be the first president in U.S. history to have an earpiece all the time. I mean, obviously they couldn't in the early days have an earpiece, but nobody ever had one before this. And you're right. That's exactly what it is. So a couple of days ago, Tucker Carlson had Elon Musk on his show, and he asked him about UFOs and said, if anybody should know if there are any UFOs out there, what would be you? Do you know of any? And Elon Musk basically said, yeah, I think I would know if there were any, but I'm telling you, I don't know of any. But just yesterday, the Pentagon has released a video of a UFO flying over an active conflict zone in the Middle East last year. And its mere existence, quote, creates the probability of unintended crossfire, according to an expert. The short clip of a metallic-looking orb flying at a fast pace was shown during yesterday's hearing before the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Emerging Threats and Capabilities. So they don't call them UFOs anymore. They have a special office, and they call it the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. What are they trying to discourage people from talking about it by giving it that kind of name?
I like Project Blue Book better.
Exactly. All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. That sounds like something out of 1984.
ADARO? That would be the acronym, ADARO?
They call it ARO, A-A-R-O. They forgot about, they they took the D, they uncapitalized D.
And so UFOs are now UAPs.
UAPs, right. UAPs. Now, what does that stand for? I'm looking for
Unidentified Aerial Phenomena.
Okay. The 2022 Middle East orb. What did they call it? Orb? And that's another thing. Why don't they call it a UFO?
Because they're UAPs.
Well, they call it a UAP, but don't call it an orb.
Well, it's describing the shape of it. Did you see the video?
I'm just looking at it right now. Yeah.
It looks like a ball bearing, just floating in midair, traveling at high velocity.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. It still kind of looks like an old style flying saucer. Anyway, 844-500-4242, and this was over Mosul, which is what, Iraq, right? Oh, this was an earlier one, was flying over Mosul, Iraq in 2016.
Right, this most recent one was last year, 2022.
The footage of the UFO, so then Fox News got tired of calling it a UAP and talking about the AARO, so they just went back to calling it a UFO. The footage of the UFO flying over the Middle East last year shows a spherical UAP. Spherical. They got to come up with some new names. Anomaly, spherical orb. This is just this is discouraging the kind of speculation and production of good science fiction and horror movies.
Do you have any submissions?
How about alien invaders? How about an AIF, alien invasion fleet?
AIFs?
Alien invasion ace. How about ace? Alien invasion ship.
AIV is alien invasion vehicles.
Vehicle, though, it sounds like a bobcat or something, or an amphibious landing device. I don't know. We're going to have to work on this. 844-500-4242-207. I planted pot seeds in 1,000 square feet of my garden today. Happy 420. Let us know. Let us give us an exact address. We'll be up there around Labor Day to harvest it after nightfall.
They grow very quickly, from what I hear.
781. Give them time. I'm sure they'll blame Trump for the parking garage collapse in Manhattan. It was near one of his buildings. They wrecked the water table. He did it. I've already written the script for him. 844-500-4242. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Howie, how you doing? Good. Tom from Oxford, second time caller.
Thank you.
You're driving to Boston. If you've got a 5-gallon can of gas in the back of your truck and you're driving to a tunnel, it's a massive fine.
It says no HC. I thought they were banning me from going into the tunnel, but it says HC, hazardous cargo. You're right, exactly. But you make a good point. I mean, an electric vehicle that could catch fire is much more of a hazard than a couple of gallons of gasoline.
It's okay with these guys, huh?
It's politically correct. It's religiously approved by the cult of climate change to have an electric vehicle. In fact, it's required. It's part of your absolution for the sins.
Are these UFOs electric vehicles? Are they using fossil fuels from their own terrestrial origins?
You know, these are questions above my pay grade. Taylor, but I'm sure that there is somebody in the all domain anomaly resolution office that is doing some really important research and will soon be producing a monograph on this subject. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Be a part of the show. Call 844-500-4242 and mind your manners.
People lose teeth talking like that. If you want to hang around, you'll be polite.
The Howie Carr Show will return in a moment. He's been called the Nostradamus of our time.
You know something? If you liberals go on getting your way, we're all going to hear one big loud flush. That's the sound of the USA going down the toilet.
He's Howie Carr.
I asked that Maine texter where he planted his marijuana seeds up in vacation land. And he texted me back foolishly. Brookton Township, Washington County. I'm so old, I can remember when Washington County was the blueberry capital of the United States of America. Now they're growing weed in place of those wonderful wild blueberries that we need for our muffins and our pies and our syrups. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Attorney General Merrick Garland is the unnamed official whose sworn testimony before Congress is being challenged in a bombshell letter from an IRS whistleblower's attorney that also alleges a cover-up in the Hunter Biden criminal investigation, the New York Post has learned. I'm shocked. Try not to let it destroy your faith in the integrity of the Brandon administration that that this lawyer for the whistleblower leaker is charged with lying, is charging Merrick Garland with lying to Congress. I mean, he was going to be on the Supreme Court, wasn't he? George, didn't he go to Harvard Law School? George, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, well, before this has even hit in the nightly news, Hunter Biden's attorney has put out a statement basically accusing this unnamed whistleblower as a criminal for releasing information that he's not authorized to release, especially to unauthorized people. However, Congress, some Congress people do want to speak with this whistleblower, and they will be speaking.
I hope so. I hope they will. And I guess under a quirk of the law, he's already talked to the IGs, the inspector generals of the Treasury and the Justice Departments. I'm reading from the New York Post story. However, due to a quirk of federal law, he needs congressional approval to more fully describe his allegations to his own lawyers. His own lawyers. There are way too many laws on the books, aren't there? He can't speak to his own lawyers, which he wants to do before testifying to Congress. Garland has repeatedly claimed under oath that Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss, a Trump administration holdover, is able to criminally charge Hunter Biden without permission of other Justice Department leaders, despite Republicans challenging the factual accuracy of that claim. So I think that's what this is all about. Thanks for the call, George. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Howie, thanks for bringing up the question about the weight of electric batteries. That's just one little aspect of things that people just don't know and can't conceive of. The new Hummer, it's a 3-ton vehicle, and the battery alone weighs 3,000 pounds. That's 600 pounds more than a Miata.
Wait, so the battery is half the weight of the car?
Not even half. The car is exactly. It's 2,900 pounds for battery pack. And the car itself is, I believe, 3 tons.
What happens if you need a new battery in that car, Jim? Well, I know it's going to cost me an arm and a leg. I'm talking about how do they get the old battery out of the car? You need a backhoe. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.